You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we've got action at Southall, Taunton and Ludlow in the afternoon. Then an evening card over at Chelmsford City, and it's Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott who will be in the studio from 1:35pm to guide you through all of the action. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition of the podcast to look ahead to four races for us is Ollie Pimlott, a Pimlott of the junior variety. How are you, sir?
A Norris of the junior variety,
yeah,
as well.
Indeed.
You never know. You might one day. You might, you know, might be a Norris Junior in this studio with you.
Yeah, possibly. If we can emulate the Ollie and Chris team, then yeah. then I'll be very happy.
Would you really? Or very sad. I think it'd probably be the latter, Sammy.
Something to live up to. How's the look been lately, Ollie?
Yeah, not too bad, I suppose.
Ticking along.
Yeah, Black Hercules. Was one of my only anti-post bets for Cheltenham in the 4 mile. It now looks like he's going for the JLT and the RSA. So, wouldn't say that's gone particularly well, Sammy. But other than that, it's not too bad, I suppose.
Yeah, while we're on that, in classic Willie Mullins style, Ollie, he hasn't confirmed or denied where any of his horses will go. But again, muddied the water by throwing the JLT and the RSA into the mix along with the 4 miler. Be a bit pointless me asking you which race you think he should go for.
Obviously, oh, 4 mile, all day, all day.
And elsewhere, this come out of Willie Mullins' media briefing. Annie Power, again, it looks increasingly likely that she'll go for the champion hurdle. And of course, Jackadam, we had a word on his well-being. Seems to have healed some of the stitches. It seems to have healed anyway from his fall. And Gordon Elliott ranks him as the one to beat in the Gold Cup. He, of course, has got Don Cossack and has targeted the race and said it's one that he'd really like to win. Jackadam, the one to beat for you, Ollie?
One of a few to beat, I think. Obviously, his Cheltenham record would be a little bit worrying. He's fallen there twice now, hasn't he? And it was just at regulation fence last time. Obviously, he fell at the downhill fence at the festival previously. That would just worry me, his Cheltenham record. I think it's such a great race this year. It should be a vintage Gold Cup. The likes of Don Cossack, Q Card, who's been the story of the season, of course, bidding for that £1 million bonus. Don Poley, Smad Place, who's been another shining light this season. We can't rule out Road to Riches as well. It's a fantastic race. I'm yet to play my cards. I think the ground is going to be a significant factor on the day, Sam. If it turns up soft like it did last year, then you'd be slightly worried about the likes of a tour. But if it's lightning quick spring ground, as occasionally we get on the Friday of Cheltenham, well, not lightning quick, but genuine good to soft ground, then Vitor would have to be the one to beat for me. So, yeah, we're not running no bet, not running money back on the Timico Cheltenham Gold Cup. Again, it's a bit of a waiting game because it's going to come down to who Brian Cooper rides. We saw Don Cossack ridden by Davy Russell at the weekend. Is that a significant? What's the word I'm looking for?
Pointer.
Is that a significant? Clue? Is that a significant pointer?
Yeah.
Towards what he's going to ride at the festival? I actually think he will pick Don Polly. Don Cossack's been there and got beaten in a Gold Cup. Don Polly hasn't. I think he always rates Don Polly very, very highly. Does Brian Cooper. And I think he didn't get the greatest of rides last year. So I think of the two, Brian Cooper will go with Don Polly. So it could be feasible that Don Polly will go for a shorter price than Don Cossack. But at the minute, very wide open. I think the ground will be a significant factor on the day who goes off where. Because we know Jacadam will devour the soft ground, whereas the likes of Vitor, Q Card, they prefer it a little bit better. So that market, I think, is very much a movable feast at the minute. And if I was having a bet on the day, I'd rather take... We're probably going to be 4-1 the field anyway. I'd rather have a bet on the day when I know what the ground's like.
Yeah, a very wise thoughts there. And of course, as you say, it looks a sensational renewal. And one of the good things about the race is there are these question marks over quite a few of the fancy runners. And that all adds to the appeal of the race, I think.
It does as well. If you think back to Lord Windermere race, it wasn't a vintage renewal, was it? Whereas you look at all these horses... You know, you look at the front 5, 6, 7, 8 in the betting. All of these, if they won the Gold Cup, you'd say, well, you know, they're a true Gold Cup winner. Whereas, you know, maybe been a bit harsh on the likes of Lord Windermere. Is he a true? He's not a true great, is he? But a lot of these horses, I wouldn't say they're going to be they're true greats yet. But you couldn't admonish them from winning a Gold Cup.
No, yeah, absolutely right. We've spoken in length about these championship races, Ollie, over the last month or so, probably even longer than that. But one thing we haven't really been able to get our teeth stuck into as of yet has been the handicaps. And, of course, the handicap weights came out on Wednesday lunchtime. It's one of them. I mean, you can't really get into it until you see the weights. But now they are out. Has anything leapt off the page?
I wouldn't say anything leaps off the page for me. I thought what the most interesting race was the Close Brothers Novice Handicap Chase. Probably the most condensed handicap in Cheltenham Festival history, if you look at it. There's 22 horses between 11 stone 10 and 11 stone 8, so a max field of 20. So about every horse is going to have near enough top weight in that race. So it's probably a poorer version of the JLT.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be a very, very good race, that one. As I say, 22 of the horses have got a weight between 11 stone 10 and 11 stone 8. If they all turn up with a max field of 20, there's not going to be many Cheltenham handicaps, if any, ever ran with just about every single horse carrying 11 stone 5 plus. So I thought that was the most interesting to come out of the weights. There's still a lot of water to go under the bridge. We don't know where, especially a lot of the Willie Mullins horses are going. He's bringing over a huge team, isn't he? So when, before we know where every single horse is going at the minute, I'm still yet to really delve into the Cheltenham handicaps. Obviously, they're only released at 12 o'clock today. We're now at around about 3:30. On the afternoon, so I've not really got stuck into the Cheltenham handicaps yet. Another one which I thought was slightly interesting is, you know what I mean, Harry, he's in three races. I think given how much weight he's going to have, he's got £14 for his win at Exeter, which I think is very harsh indeed. He's now rated £2 higher than the unbeaten Barters Hill, who's one of the favourites for a Grade 1, a Grade 1 winner, of course. So I thought that was interesting, the fact, you know what I mean, Harry's got so much weight. I think he could well be, Harry Fry, tempted into running in the Albert Bartlett, because he's got top weight, I think, in the Coral Cup. What of the races in there, Sam, as well? Because I know he's in two of the Cheltenham handicaps. We'll be able to find it, won't we?
Yeah, he's entered in the Coral Cup for the Potemps final and the Albert Bartlett.
Yeah, I think they could well be tempted down the Albert Bartlett route, given what a huge amount of weight he's got, and arguably how well handicapped is he, because he's £2 higher than an unbeaten Grade 1 horse in Barters Hill. I think the handicappers putting him up a stone for his last win has been a little bit harsh there. So just a few opening thoughts. Obviously, I've not been able to delve into all the Cheltenham handicaps yet, because they've only just been released and we've been concentrating on Pendo, of course.
We have indeed, yeah, which brings us nicely onto our next point. We've just seen, around about 10 minutes ago, just before we recorded the podcast, Ollie, Victoria Pendleton getting off the mark under rules, winning over at Wincanton on Wednesday afternoon. You know a great deal more than I do about riding a horse, Ollie. How much will that fall at Fakenham have taught her and helped her into getting this first win on the board?
Yeah, she gave it a completely different ride to what she did at Fakenham. She was very positive today, jumped out, made all over 2.5 miles. He jumped like a buck, to be fair, past the boulder. Obviously second in the Fox Hunters round, ain't she? He's going to. But she gave it a positive ride. I think it's fantastic for racing. We're just looking at Twitter and it's gone berserk, hasn't it? I think she's about the number one trend now. So it's going to be for the front pages of all the sports news. It can't be a bad thing for racing. And it's going to be another, it could well overshadow the Cheltenham Fox Hunters, the fact she's going to be riding in the race after in the Fox Hunters now. I think it's pretty much certain that she'll take that up, having won on Pasha de Poldish. I think he's 16-1 to win the race with her on board. And I think she's got a long way to go to win the race yet, but I think it's a magnificent achievement, the fact she's going to get there. But it's a stepping stone. I do think it's fantastic for racing that all the publicity is getting. Very positive to see racing in the news for a positive light.
Yes, certainly is. But I, as you just touched on there, Ollie, it will be a very, very different test in the Fox Hunters to what she's faced, pointing, and it even to a lesser extent, what she's faced at Fakenham and Wincanton so far.
Yeah, 3.2 miles flat out in the championship race that is the Fox Hunters is going to be very different with, you know, 20-odd horses surrounding you, you know, the biggest fences she's ever encountered. Yeah, I think she's done magnificently well to get there. But in terms of Pasha de Polder winning the race, I think it's unlikely.
Yeah, Fair enough. But yeah, you said it's a superb achievement to have got there in just a year. And that was, I guess, half the battle for Victoria Pendleton. So best of luck to her come March. We'll move on now, Ollie, to take a look at four races from Thursday. We've got three jumpers at Ludlow, and then we've got one on the all-weather from Chelmsford City. But we begin. The 2:30 at Ludlow is a novices handicap hurdle over 2 miles and five furlongs. Nine runners line up for this Class 3 event. What do you like in the field, Ollie?
Yeah, course and distance form is obviously brought by Minella Celebration. Katie Price's Charge is a dual winner over the trip, both here and at Exeter, following his latest third-placed effort over 3 mile at Ascot. This Sons of King's Theatre drops back in distance today, so he's got to have every chance under Mr. John Nixon. Returns from a short break. I think 3 miles at Ascot probably just stretched his stamina somewhat, so dropping back in distance today, 2 mile five on a sharper track, better ground here at Ludlow should suit. Zanstra certainly wasn't disgraced in a decent contest last time. He should give another bold bid, as should Present Man with the headgear back on. But the one I'm going to take a chance on here is Going for Broke for Rebecca Curtis and Sean Bowen. Made a winning start in a Taunton Bumper. That was in 2014. On the face of it, I don't think he's run particularly well in novice and maiden company since. But first time cheek pieces, going handicapping, stepping up in trip, I think he is the one to be on. Obviously, there's a big question mark of the form of the Rebecca Curtis yard, but very interesting. He runs in the JP McManus colours, has not been knocked about in all three starts over hurdles. Now goes handicapping, sporting first-time cheek pieces over an extended trip. I thought that was significant. So, Going for Broke for me in the 2:30 at Ludlow.
The 3:05 at Ludlow is a novices limited handicap chase, ran over 2.5 miles. We've got 10 runners that go down for this Class 3 event. Talk me through these, Ollie.
Yeah, another really competitive handicap this. Decent prize money on offer, best part of £7,000 to the winner for this Wye Valley Brewery Novices Limited Handicap Chase. Soft good, soft in places there tomorrow, so it's generally good ground at Ludlow. Should suit all of these horses, I think. But the top weight is the one I'm going to go with here. Hollywoodian for Tom Simmons. Tom Simmons, he looked to burst on the scene, previously an assistant with Nicky Henderson, but not quite got on as the likes of Ben Pauling and Dan Skelton have done. But I still think he's a very competent young trainer, Tom Simmons. And I think it's a significant jockey booking with Aidan Coleman on board this Ascot winner. He was aboard Tom Simmons' French recruit when he won at the Barks track back in December. Still very lightly raced, only 5 years old. And you'd argue the handicap has maybe not caught up with him since. I think a mark of 131 here is very fair for Hollywoodian. Only had a couple of starts for Tom Simmons and certainly shaped very impressively for him. As I mentioned, he was disappointing on his debut for James Davies, but he won at Ascot back in December and then was ran really well behind Nexios when he was second of six at Doncaster, beating 8 lengths that day. But I think Nexios of the Paul Nicholls team brings an official rating of 139, is pretty highly regarded by Paul Nicholls, bounced back to form that day. So Hollywoodian, I know it's a competitive handicap chase, but I still think there's got a little bit more up his sleeve, this French recruit. So the booking of Aidan Coleman is significant. He's won on the horse and been placed on it last time. The form hasn't been French yet, but I think he was beaten by a good horse at Doncaster. And I still think off a mark of 131, he's fairly well treated. So Hollywoodian will be the selection in the 3:05 at Ludlow.
Hollywoodian for all in the 3:05. The 3:40 is the next race on our podcast. Here we've got a handicap chase over just shy of 3 miles. Nine runners go here. Talk us through this bunch.
Well, what's interesting is Nexus, who of course beat Hollywoodian, who we've talked about for the previous race, is back in action here. He was a really good horse for Keith Dalgleish last year. He scored at the second attempt at Doncaster last month, and I thought that was really strong form. So we're going to see if that form can be given a boost by Hollywoodian in an earlier race, but I think that is really strong form. Obviously, if I've gone with Hollywoodian in the previous race, I've got to give a positive mention to Nexius here. But the one I'm going to go with is Big Casino. I think it's significant that they've given this horse a bit of a break. He won a weak race for the grade at Haydock in May. He's been below par his last two runs, but he's been given a significant break, 75 days off, returns to Ludlow, and more importantly, I think he gets his ground. His last two runs have been on ground, which haven't suited whatsoever. But he's well handicapped. He returns to a track which is going to give him the ground he needs. He's a previous winner back in May on good ground, and Nigel Twiston Davies has his charges in decent form. So I thought Big Casino off a mark of 10 stone 13 was pretty well weighted, and the handicapper has given him a chance here. So the return to better ground, I think, gives Big Casino a big chance in the 3:40 at Ludlow.
big casino then for Nigel Twiston-Davis and Wayne Hutchinson getting the vote for Ollie. The 740 at Chelmsford is the last race to come on today's podcast. The condition stakes here over 2 miles. We've got six runners who line up for this all-weather championship fast-track qualifier. They always seem to attract a decent field, these condition races, Ollie, and the same can be said of this race.
Yeah, the same can be said of this race. Pretty competitive race. The pace in the race is probably going to be John Reel. He certainly got the run of the race last time. Got a soft lead when he was second at Chelmsford, but he looks up against it at the weights. Decent race this. Barrier, I think we're going to go for Richard Hughes, bids for a hat-trick. Previously with David Simcock, but has improved considerably for the change of yards. Won hands and heels last time. I don't think the step up to 2 mile is going to be any significance to him, so I think he should stay the 2 miles. And he's improved immeasurably from the change of yard from David Simcock to Richard Hughes, who's had a fantastic start to his training career. But I do think Pinzolo is definitely the one to beat here. The top weight, Kai's 9 stone 6, has the cheap pieces. Adam Kirby booked for Charlie Appleby, a course winner. 2 wins from 3 runs this year. I'd argue he was a little bit below form, 3rd of 7 at Lingfield last time, but he returns to his favourite track here at Chelmsford. He's rated 108. It was a conditions race at Lingfield last time, but I think it's significant he comes back to Chelmsford, where he's 2 from 3. That was his first outing since May last year when he ran at Lingfield. He's had 40 days to get over that. John Reel's going to guarantee you get a strong pace to run at here, and I think he's just a class act in the race, and in the race conditions he's very well treated with the rest. So Pinzolo would be a very positive selection in the 7:40 at Chelmsford.
Pinzolo then for Charlie Appleby and Adam Kirby and the Godolphin team getting the votes in the 7:40. Just give us a quick summary then, please, all of your 4 picks for Thursday.
In the 2:30 at Ludlow, my selection is going for Broke. In the 3:05 at Ludlow, my selection is Hollywoodian. The 3:40 at Ludlow, my selection is Big Casino. And in the 7:40 at Chelmsford, my selection and nap is Pinzolo.
There we are. You've been listening to the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott ahead of Thursday's racing, and it will all be covered live on William Hills Racing Radio with Suddle, Taunton, Ludlow and Chelmsford on the agenda from 1:35 with Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Ollie, and best of luck on Thursday.
Thank you, Sammy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.